All right, welcome back. Who's talking? Hobbo Frank and Chris Sill here, and we already have Coach London on the line waiting. So, Coach, do we have you with us?
Good to be with you guys. How are you doing this evening?
We're doing fine. I think Frank's got the first question for you, Coach.
Welcome, okay. Coach. Last season, your Wahoos played very well, won 8 games, and challenged for the Coastal title. Looking ahead, how do the Hoos break out of the slump they're in and you know, get a big victory versus Maryland?
You know, Frank, that's a great question. One we're trying to get answered with these young players that we have. I mean, it seems like when adversity hits, that we just haven't found that way to respond in a sustained positive manner. Last season, as you know, there were at least 4 victories on the very last play of the game, and that provided such a confidence boost for our players, and I just can't seem to get in the right rhythm and groove right now. But working at it, working hard at it, trying to simplify some things with some of the plays, some of the players that we're asking to do things, trying to put more players in the game. Give us a little bit more of a rotation to get guys a rest. I'm concerned about the energy level sometimes. So, we're looking at the whole, what we call, who we're asked to doing it, and just everything to try to give us an opportunity to play well, on this Saturday.
Coach, you're one of the best leaders and motivators I've ever been around. The team, obviously, I'm sure, a little discouraged. How do you keep them encouraged and their psyche up at this stage?
Well, Jim, we live in such an instant, social media that you try to keep them off the message boards and things like that. You just try to keep away from the negativity and let them understand that, their confidence will be gained through, the performance on the field, what they do off the field, and how they're held accountable as a student athlete here at Virginia. We just talk about being positive and staying positive. A lot of things you can't do anything about what people may say, but you can respond in terms of your effort and the energy and the preparation that you put into to these games. So, it's one of those things when young players that are learning to get their experience as the games go on. 7 games deep, but nonetheless, they're gaining that experience and they want to play well. We want them to play well, and as I said, you have to go back and just try to reassess the giving them something easy or simple that they can do, even if it means that your schemes aren't, all elaborate. But at the same time, you want them to play fast. You want them to play, like they have some confidence and not thinking a whole lot. And hopefully that's part of the coaching is finding some things that the guys can do and maybe scale back a little bit to give them a chance to be successful.
We're speaking with Coach Mike London of the University of Virginia Cavaliers. Coach, much has been discussed regarding the quarterbacks and so forth. However, I think maybe the thing that probably bothers you more than anything, and Coach Reed, obviously, is the inconsistencies on defense. And I've seen some unusual trends. Virginia has started a lot of games recently and struggled to get a grip. Then they get a toehold. Then they shut them down. And then something happens in the third quarter. How can you explain this phenomenon, and what can you do to maybe change it up?
Well, I think kind of all the above, Frank, what I was just talking about maybe limiting some of the things that some of our guys are doing, getting more of a rotation in there and having guys that are that are freshmen. We've committed to playing a lot of freshmen. I think 4th in the ACC with that. But at the same time, you put them in there and you play them, but then the games get tight. You don't want to play them because the games are tight. Well, we have to find times to put them in the game because they're going to learn how to play the game and get their game playing experience only by going in the game. So we talked about playing more players. We talked about simplifying the plan. We talked about looking at techniques that suit perhaps some of these younger players' abilities, and being self-evaluative of what we're asking them to do. So. I am as frustrated as you are to see, this past game, the first, there were about 5 or 6 series in a row that defensively we made them punt. and then we come back and you know, they score punches points in a bunch. So you know, that's something that that Coach Reed and the defensive staff are aware of, about the personnel, what we're calling, who we're asking to do what, and you know, we definitely have to play better. We have to limit the points, but I want us to be able to come out and just play with some energy and some passion. And sometimes that's just due to guys not being quite sure of their assignment. So let's simplify the assignments and then let them play full speed.
Well, on the positive side of the coin, I see you got Clifton Richardson back on the field. He looks like he's got his legs again. I know that's a good shot in the arm coming down here with the next six games ahead of us. You've rotated your quarterback. How do you feel that Philip Sims did in his first outing as the starter?
Well, you know, when you I guess you can answer that. He threw for almost 300 yards, but then on the other side of that, you know, there's two interceptions. And right now this team cannot afford to give the ball away when we're not getting the ball back. We're not creating the turnovers. You know, we have to be guardians of the football. You know, Phil has a big arm, and a lot of times if you saw the game, we threw, you know, several passes downfield to the outreached arm of some of our receivers. You know, the game before, you know, we connected on a couple of those long touchdown passes, particularly early versus La Tech. So, you know, I think Phil is now, you know, getting the full complement of playing the game and the calls and the decisions and just being, you know, being comfortable, you know, with running the offense and not trying to come in and play from behind or catch up. So, you know, he's got some adjustments to do. We have to adjust around him. You know, for the first game, obviously, you know, I understand he talked to the media and he blamed himself. And, you know, no one player is to blame for the, you know, for the game. It's players and coaches alike and the lack of execution. So we got to do a better job of calling some plays and, you know, getting some completions, easy throws for Phil, and not having to rely on the long ball. So I think going into this the second full week of him being the starter and having the offense taking the reps with the ones, that we should get a better performance out of that position.
Coach, I noticed Burbank got in the game some down at Duke, and I noticed that the run game was really cranking out the yards there in the first half. That could bode well for the rest of the season, because obviously a quarterback's best friend is a running game, right?
That's big, because when you're running the ball and you have authority and you're getting guys to the next level, then, you know, teams start dropping down, you know, the eighth defender or the safety. And then you know, off your play-action passes, you have those opportunities to throw behind the safeties, or you're going to get, you know, one-on-one coverage with the corners on the outside. And the great thing about Ross Burbank, who, you know, just, you know, kind of a young man is kind of blossoming and growing under the Evan Marcus and the strength and conditioning, is that, you know, his blocks were – A lot of his pluses were downfield blocks, for just being aggressive, you know, just staying on his man. And he has warranted more playing time. You know, as we know, we had sort of that the inside guard rotation concerns about what was going on there. But he has warranted playing time because of his effort. And we want to try to put the best players in position to help us. And the running game looked like it was running. Unfortunately, getting behind. All of a sudden, you had to go back to the passing game. But I think Ross has done a nice job of a young player that's gotten bigger, stronger, faster, has got an opportunity to go in a game and made an impact.
We're joined, obviously, by head coach Mike London of the Cavaliers. And I know, Coach, shortly you got to go to your radio show on the Virginia Sports Properties Network. But we talked offense, defense. Just a quick question on special teams. I think when they changed the rule this year to kick off from the 35, I think a lot of us expected, well, they're just going to kick the ball in the end zone every time. But I think a lot of coaches have, I guess, strategically decided, you know what, I don't want to give the team the ball in the 25-yard line. I'm going to kick it to the 20 to the goal line and make somebody run it back. How do you adjust from a strategy standpoint to that?
Well, I think, you know, having played the games we played in, you see the different strategies of different teams. And, you know, one of the strategies that Duke had was, Ian Fry kicked the ball into the end zone and 1 yard into the end zone, you know, right inside the end zone, elected not to bring it out, knowing that you're going to get the ball at the 25 and have 75 yards, you know, for your offense to go. And at least, hopefully, if you get you know, 30 yards or so, then now if you have to punt, then you can punt and be and put the other team in plus territory or backed up territory. So that's one school of thought. Another one is if you have a dynamic returner and the ball goes 3-4 yards in the end zone, then perhaps bring it out. But on the flip side of that, if your coverage team is doing a great job and running down the field, and we found out against Louisiana Tech that those guys up front were running and beating our front-level guys with speed, that the returns were, even though you're returning them 1 or 2 yards deep in the end zone, you're only getting out to the 17, 18, 19-yard line. So it does cause you to think about the strategy of how you're going to set up your return game, who's going to return it, who you're going against, the cover team, if they're a directional team, is a kicker kind of kick it high up in the air to allow your return team to get down, your cover team to get down there. So there's been different philosophies we've seen over the last, six games. And, one that we're going to have to solidify our own return game now if teams are directional or high kicking those coffin corner shots.
Coach, wondering about Tim Smith. He a lot was expected of him this year, particularly his leadership role since Chris Byrd had graduated. How is his health, and is he expected back in at least 80-90% of his ability?
Well, I tell you, and a lot of teams at this point have, injuries, key players and things like that. It's been significant for us to miss Tim out there because he is the leader of the wide receivers in terms of years played and experience and, just in the huddle and just different things being on the field. Tim didn't play last week. I don't know if he's going to play this week. He's very disappointed, that he can't run the way that he's shown, this season and last season. And so you miss a little bit of that leadership in there because now you got the two freshmen and two true sophomores that are in there playing in that huddle. So, missing Tim, is a thing that it speaks to not only the receivers but just a leadership in the huddle for the team. And hopefully, if he misses this game, maybe perhaps the following game, then he'll have a chance to. I know we have a bye at the end of October, but a healthy Tim Smith makes us a better football team.
No doubt.
Coach, I know you got to get to your radio show with Dave Kane, but we do appreciate your taking a few minutes to join us tonight. I know we all wish you the very best. Stay encouraged. Get a win on Saturday against Maryland, and I think we'll all feel better.
Well, thanks for having me on. I appreciate you guys. I appreciate the Wahoo fans out there. Come on up on Saturday. It's going to be a good game for us, a good litmus test. This is a very good Maryland team that is looking for redemption from last year. But, we're also looking to find the three phases of our team that can play well. We've done it in spurts. We're looking to put it together for four quarters and hopefully provide the home fans with an acceptable performance.
Well, I'm sure you will, and we're looking forward to being there and would encourage all the Wahoo Nation to get out to the game. I think it's going to be a beautiful day Saturday. It's homecoming. And
3 o'clock kickoff.
3 o'clock kickoff. So best of luck, Coach, and we'll look forward to having you back on later in the season.
Okay, fellas. Thank you. Jim, say hello to your lovely wife.
I will do that. Thank you. Coach Mike London joining us tonight before he goes over to the WRVA show.
All right. I think Coach London had a lot of things to say there.
Sounds like Phillip Sims going to start
again. So we know part of the broadcast team here is ecstatic. Nothing against Coach quarterback Phil Sims. I think they need his downfield arm. You'd like to have Rocco's game management skills combined with Sims's arm, but
well, as I think you've said before, it goes beyond quarterback play at this stage. They have to correct a lot of things on offense, defense, and special teams, and play for 60 minutes. That's part of it too. They've played well in spurts, but you have to play well for 60 minutes to get the win.
I know that Dr. Dalton will be calling in here shortly from Ortho, Virginia. Just to give everybody a quick rundown while we wait for his call. Billy Schatz was on crutches recently. He's got a lower leg issue. We know that that's a problem. Perry Jones bruised his knee down at TCU, but he seems to be playing without any real pain. Leroy Reynolds is back. He's got a soft cast on his right hand. Tim Smith was out this last game. It looks like there's an Achilles ankle issue. And I see Dr. Dalton. Are you there?
Sure.
Great, great. Glad you could join us. We've got Vince Dalton with Ortho Virginia. He's been a regular guest of Who's Talking. Dr. Dalton, how are you?
I'm doing fine. How are you doing, Frank?
Doing well, thank you. We were just given the rundown on the players. One other player, Clifton Richardson, has had hamstring issues, but he did play some downs against Duke, and they're expecting him at full strength for the next game against Maryland. The player I think that is receiving a lot of attention is Tim Smith, the wide receiver, wears jersey number 20. I believe he's a senior this year. He played at the same high school that produced Phil Sims as well as Perry Jones, and they really need his calm, cool composure in the huddle and his ability to get deep and those deep out patterns. He runs beautifully, but he hadn't been able to play. We've got more information on him right now that it's his Achilles tendon has been giving him problems as well as an ankle problem, all in the same leg. And Dr. Dalton, how might you help an athlete dealing with those issues?
Well, I'm not sure what his ankle injury is, but Achilles tendon injuries come in basically two forms. Your overuse tendonitis that most of us middle-aged guys see if we're still out there trying to play sports and be active, and that's just kind of a overuse painful thing. It can certainly predispose to rupture. But the primary treatment for that is rest and stretching and icing, and there's really not a whole lot else you can do. If you get out there and try and run on it too soon, it's just going to prolong the agony of the thing. And then the other one that we see is the acute injury, the actual tear. So if you actually tear the tendon down near the foot, where you can kind of feel it's almost like a rope down there, if you tear that, most athletes we recommend surgically repairing that. So he obviously does not have that. But you can have another tear that's more up in the calf where the tendon, where it fans out and attaches to the muscle, that can tear. And that can be anywhere from a 2-week to a 6-week recovery time. And again, the only treatment is rest, stretching, and icing. But it should heal up 100%.
We're visiting with Dr. Vince Dalton, and this is Hobbo, but this team has had a lot of hamstring issues. I know hamstring is not exactly an orthopedic issue, but it's related. What do you think is causing all the hamstring issues?
Well, it very definitely is an orthopedic problem. It is. We do see a lot of it. I'm not sure why they're having a higher rate of it. It's when you develop these muscles so strong as these college athletes, particularly the football players, do, there's so much force on there that the tendon where it fans out and attaches to the muscle can tear. And that can, you know, if you don't give it enough time to heal and try and get back too soon, it's just going to tear again and again prolong the agony.
That's exactly what Clifton Richardson talked about. After the last football game down at Duke, he talked about he tried to come back too quickly, and he was re-injuring that hamstring all over again. And Jody Smith has been on with us before, and we've addressed this on a number of occasions. But, Dr. Dalton, we certainly appreciate you joining us tonight. We're going to head to our last break before the Olympic Sports Report, and we thank you and Ortho Virginia for everything you do every single day. Thank you.
Certainly. Thank you for having me.
Listen, have a great night. All right, we're going to go to our next break. We come back. Chris Sill will help us with the Olympic Sports Report, and we're actually going to talk about a little tennis maybe. All right, going to break now.